The two Baudelaires looked at one another through their masks, and Violet put a hand on her brother's shoulder. They did not dare to say out loud their hope that one of their parents might be just around the corner.
"Let's go,"
Violet whispered. The scout nodded silently in agreement, and led the Baudelaires down the hallway, which seemed to get colder and colder with every step. By now, they were so far from Bruce and the Snow Scouts that there was no need to whisper, but all three children kept quiet as they walked down the dim, curved hallway, hushed by the feeling of the corridors of power. At last they reached a large metal door with a strange device where the doorknob should have been. The device looked a bit like a spider, with curly wires spreading out in all directions, but where the head of the spider might have been was the keyboard of a typewriter. Even in her excitement to see the headquarters, Violet's inventing mind was interested in such a device, and she leaned closer to see what it was.
"Wait," the sweated scout said, reaching his arm out to stop her. "This is a coded lock. If we don't operate it properly, we won't be able to get into the headquarters."
"How does it work?" Violet said, shivering slightly in the cold.
"I'm not sure," the scout admitted, and took out his commonplace book again.
"It's called the vernacularly fastened door, so
it operates on language," Klaus finished.
"Vernacular is a word for a local language or dialect."
"Of course," Violet said. "See how the wires are curled around the hinges of the door? They're locked in place unless you type in the right sequence of letters on that keyboard. There are more letters than numbers, so it would be more difficult for someone to guess the combination of the lock."
"That's what I read," the scout confirmed, looking at a page in his notebook. "You're supposed to type in three specific phrases in a row. The phrases change every season, so volunteers need to have a lot of information at their fingertips to use this door. The first is the name of the scientist most widely credited with the discovery of gravity."
"That's easy," Violet said, and typed in
Sir Isaac Newton, the name of a physicist she had always admired. When she was finished, there was a muted clicking sound from the typewriter keyboard, as if the device was warming up.
"The second is the Latin name for the volunteer feline detectives," the scout said.
"I found the answer in Remarkable Phenomena of the Mortmain Mountains. It's Panthera Leo." He leaned forward and typed in Panthera Leo. There was a very quiet buzzing sound, and the children saw that the wires near the hinges were shaking very slightly.
"It's beginning to unlock," Violet said. "I hope I get a chance to study this invention."
"Let's get to the headquarters first," Klaus said. "What's the third phrase?" The scout sighed and turned a page in the commonplace book.
"I'm not sure," he admitted.
"Another volunteer told me that it's the central theme of Leo Tolstoy's novel Anna Karenina, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet." Violet knew that her brother was smiling, even though she could not see his face through the mask. She was remembering one summer very long ago when Klaus was very young and Sunny was not even conceived. Every summer, the Baudelaire's mother would read a very long book, joking that lifting a large novel was the only exercise she liked to get during the hot months. During the time Violet was thinking of, Mrs. Baudelaire chose Anna Karenina for her summer reading, and Klaus would sit on his mother's lap for hours at a time while she read. The middle Baudelaire had not been reading very long, but their mother helped him with the big words and would occasionally stop reading to explain what had happened in the story. And in this way, Klaus and his mother read the story of Ms. Karenina, whose boyfriend treats her so poorly that she throws herself under a train